नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तुं कात्यायनाय विद्महे कन्याकुमारी धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् शांति 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 ही श्रीमद् भागवतम व्हेन रुक्मिणी वांटेड टू मैरी कृष्णा एंड शी वाज आस्क्ड टू वर्शिप कृष्णा सिस्टर हु इज कृष्णा सिस्टर देवी यू नो दैट शी वांटेड ब्लेसिंग्स ही वांट टू गेट मैरिड टू कृष्णा एंड हु शुड शी वाज आस्क्ड टू प्रे टू कात्यायनी Krishna's sister was prayed to have the grace of Devi's grace. If you have, the marriage will happen soon. So tell all the young girls. And if you don't do, and you pray for them, because it really worked. In Coimbatore, there is a doctor couple. Said that the doctor, his wife, he is orthopedic surgeon, and then wife was my very regular student. And then she has two daughters and both are doctors, both are living here in UK. One is in Wolverhampton, one is in Stevenage. And the first girl got married and then after marriage, they didn't have children for some time. Of course, Bhagavan's, it's all Prarabdha also is there for some time. But she was really worried. But the girl is very nice. Both children are very, very good. They used to come to Swamiji for everything. Before exams, they'll come and give pen to Swamiji and go. They'll be very good students. But some respect. And then the mother was asking, but she was became very busy doctor here, and the husband also doctor, young couple, they were living in Wolverhampton. Actually, I went to their house to do puja when they got the house and all, when newly came and all that. Then the mother told, I told mother, so at least there's a japam, you do it. You pray intensely for her, it should work. What else do mothers only have to do for children now? If the children are not doing, if you want to get rid of the problem, then you better, you pray. Of course, we are praying. But how intensely we are praying. How, you know. So, we want like a tapas. And then, actually the mother was doing. But I don't know if it's because of the Japa Mantra or because the Prarabdha worked. But the girl became pregnant and she had a baby also. And then she then told other friend in Coimbatore, who that girl also didn't have. That mother came and asked me, it seems you gave the mantra and it worked. I said, I just gave the mantra. Mantra Japa is always effective. But I will not say it is because of Mantra Japa only she got it. The Prarabdha also worked together. And other mother also did and Sadhav girl also got the baby. So two things became successful. And also this Rukmini, when I was teaching Narayanayam in Coimbatore, Narayanayam is a Bhagavatam and Akshar because in all Vaishnavites are lots of people in Coimbatore. I was teaching Sriman Narayanayam, which is actually Advaitam actually. But name is, in the textbook is called Narayanayam because it's all Bhagavata story in a nutshell. Advaitic vision is given there. But actually, the Bhagavatam itself presents Advaitic vision. And then even Sriman Narayanam being the textbook which has the Bhagavatam in a nutshell. So the author also is actually basically a person of Advaitic vision only. But still the name is Narayana. So Narayanayam, all about Narayana it talks about. So I was teaching that textbook. And there one comes, Rukmini Kalyanam comes. And there it is said, Rukmini went and prayed to Lord Krishna, the Devi, to get married to Krishna. And so really some girls took it seriously and they did that. And then of course the good life settled, they settled in the good life. Maybe the Prarabdha worked. I'm not saying it's because of the prayer, but at least a prayer help them to, at least to keep them in the prayer. When you are praying to Bhagavan, at least you are not confused. At least what else can we do? And things don't work the way we want things to work. What else can we do? All we can do is only, we can only pray. That's why, and then some, that is why we of course, we pray to only Bhagavan. For us, we don't have too many Bhagavans, okay? Only Bhagavan is, all that is here is Bhagavan, which is inclusive of the one who is praying to also. But still we invoke Bhagavan for specific reasons. Sakama upasam, isn't it? It's called Sakama Palam. Sakama Karma. Doesn't matter. Prayer can be Sakama Karma. isn't it? If the prayer becomes nishkama karma, it will definitely will bless you with what? Antakarna shuddhi and naishchalyam. The prayer sakama karma also will bless you what? With both palam and the antakarna shuddhi and naishchalyam. That is why prayer is always good. It's a karma, isn't it? Prayer, people ask, why should they pray? Why, does Bhagavan know or not? Bhagavan knows very well. That is why we exactly are getting what we deserve to get. Whether we want it or not, we are getting. It's that we have to understand things are within the realm of the order. Everything is in the realm of the order. Things are happening as the order determines things. Our will is used only to do certain things. I mean, of course, we are using the will, whether it is to do this or not to do this. Our will is very much involved there in choice of our actions. But the palam is not our choice. Only in choosing to do the actions, we can use the exercise of will. The fruit is only the order only. That is why here it is very important for us to understand this, and prayer is effective, and whatever we have, and all we have is Shraddha. It's not that asking for one day and then leaving it. What is your focus? What should the strong, that is what people talk about in thought power and all that. See, when you are praying for one thing continuously, consistently, again and again and again and again and again until it happens, what is your thought? Your thought is about that. This is called thought power. People talk about in the modern society, oh, thought power, positive thinking. We never lose Bhagavan. People think, if you think positive, things will work or what? Positive thinking is okay, but without bringing Ishvara into the picture, nothing will happen. That's why pray, and prayer is the only thing. Hold on to the prayer, it will work. Everything will work. Okay, and as Shastra students, it's very important for us also what now? Let the world be as it is. We can never correct the world, we can never change the world. So what I need, so what is... And then all of us have lots of goodness. Every one of us have our own goodness. Satyam. Every one of us have our own goodness. Lots of goodness is there. And then sometimes what we do, what we say, what we hear, you know, these things sometimes really confuse us also. Because all your mind is ready to get confused. So what we should, that is why Nitya, this is prayer is, O Lord, please bless me with clarity. Let me not have any wrong perception at all. Having wrong perception is not wrong. It is not your mistake. It's not error. It is natural for one to have wrong perception, but it's very important for one to keep oneself in good humor. For one's own mental peace, and for one to be calm and relaxed, the best thing one should have is the right perception of everything. And we can't afford to have right perception. Because our mind because our own background, our own understanding, our own situations, our own all these things together make you come to the conclusions, and based on your perceptions. Your perceptions are not wrong, but sometimes your perceptions are not wrong. But no, you don't want to have wrong perception. That is how you can perceive, but it is wrong. And then even the perception is wrong. And the perception, you can keep the perception, but you know, don't need to come to the conclusions immediately. Conclusions, whatever conclusion you make based on your perception, you should wait. Okay, conclusions if you have, don't express your conclusions unless you are 100% sure your conclusion is right. And for which you need to wait. And for you have to make sure your perception is right. You do not know. And sometimes you just blindly decide, yes, my perception is correct, my conclusion is correct, and then that whatever conclusion, and that is how you express yourself. And you are completely helpless. It is not you are behaving, okay? It's completely the mind. That is how the mind is. The person's external behavior, what I say, what I do, everything is completely my expression of my mind, which is a function, which is part of you. What say, do you have your own mind? No. That is why the best thing is, as a human being, we are blessed with the free will, the important prayer for a person really want to grow grow, take care of one's emotional maturity and growth and preparedness needed for knowledge. You are so fortunate that so much of punyam must have been there. Otherwise, interest in shastra study is not possible. Even you will not be sitting in the class here if punyam is not there. I tell you, satyam, satyam this is. Bhagavan's grace, some ancestral's punyam, ancestors' punyam, great-grandparents' punyam, grandparents' punyam, even the people who came in the families, and their punyam also sometimes you share, because if they were highly generous people, and highly they were doing so much for the good society, good work also, that punyam also sometimes comes for the families. We do believe in India these things. That is why our punyam also will go to our children. One thing. And your own special term to be the person of that family also, but now you must have had punyam. Otherwise, you would have been born elsewhere. So somehow all everything your punyam also is there. Because of punyam only, even advaita vasana pumsam vina punyena na siddhyati, no? Even the inclination to study shastram is not possible without punyam. That we got because of Bhagavan's grace and Bhagavan's our own punyam only. That is why as a that punyam is there, and so fortunate we are able to study, and then we are able to be. I'm very thankful to Bhagavan, because I have some students whom I can share this vision, so that I am also with the shastra. I'm also thinking equally. Don't think only I'm asking you to do that. Okay, because we're all kept together. With the shastram keeps us together, and shastram really keeps us together with Bhagavan. There's no greater puja, greater worship, greater punya karma than studying shastram. Please understand. There may be so many punya karmas. I'm not saying any work is excellent. Everything has to be done. Every karma is good. Any karma produces punyam, not pura. But shastra study is the, you know, greatest punya karma. Satyam. Okay, this is satyam. Now, that's why it's better for us to make effort that people, sometimes slowly when you study, slowly, we don't really intensely pray. Not that one day going to temple, one day sitting in the puja room, we can't go out to the temples every day. I know, understand the difficulties because we're all not even close to temples. And our work, and then even India people are not going every day. So here it may be difficult, you know. So at least to pray, you don't need to go in the puja room. Wherever you sit, and intensely you can pray, every day make it a point to pray to Bhagavan, oh Lord, you know, I don't do anything knowingly wrong thing. Unknowingly, I don't know what wrong things I'm doing. We are not doing really knowingly, nobody is doing wrong things. Therefore, please bless me with all clarity that all my perceptions are right and all the conclusions I make based on my perceptions should not be wrong conclusions. So that in my day-to-day transactions, I don't hurt other people's feelings unknowingly. I don't intend to hurt. Really, nobody intends to hurt other person's feelings. Unknowingly, may not hurt others' feelings. This must be the prayer, and I request you, and please do that prayer every day, all of you. I can only request you to do that. Apart from that, and Bhagavan has to protect us. Okay. So last class. Shanno Mitra Shambharunaha, Shanno Bhavatvaryama, Shanna Indro Vipaspatihi, Shanno Vishnururukramaha, Namo Brahmane, Namaste Vayo, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi, Twameva pratyaksham brahma vadishyami, rutam vadishyami, satyam vadishyami, tanmamavatu, tadvaktaramavatu, avatumam, avatuvaktaram. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So last class we have seen Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. Remember, till now we have seen Samhita Upasanam. Then we have seen Vyakhriti Upasanam. Then Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. And Vyakhriti Upasanam and Hiranyagarbha Upasanam are supposed to be practiced together as a combined Upasanam. If the person who practices both the Upasanams will have Antahkarna Shuddhi, Antahkarna Naishchalyam and Antahkarna Vaishalyam. He will be blessed with single pointedness. He will be blessed with what? Mental steadiness, mental purity and expansion of the mind, mental expansion. Expansion of the mind has to expand, isn't it? Expansion of the mind. If a person practices this upasanam as nishkama upasanam, what is a nishkama upasanam? What is sakama upasanam? When you practice the upasanam, oh Lord, I am practicing this upasanam. I know this upasanam will bless me with the fruit of going to Brahma Loka, enjoying the Brahma the status of being Brahman. Saguna Ishvara. Ishvaratvam, it will give me the overlordship. But still, that's also bondage. That's also not moksha. But what I really, I'm practicing this meditation, not only for the, not for the karma phalam, but I'm practicing this, what I want is moksha. What I want, moksha means what now? I want to discover the moksha which is already there. So all that I want is jnanam, your swarupa jnanam, which is myself. The swarupam of the whole jagat is the self. Available only as the self. All that I want is this atma jnanam. Therefore, with this, for that jnanam, whatever I need to be blessed with, I don't know whether I'm qualified or not. I don't know what the qualifications are also. I don't know, when I hear about the qualifications is being listed, I really find difficult. Oh my God, that really frightens me. Is it possible for me to become qualified for jnanam? Really speaking, it is not difficult. Or intensely pray, what now? May I be blessed with all the qualifications required for jnanam with making efforts also. Okay? Then, so that bless me with the jnanam. But now, and so what are the qualifications? I need to be mentally pure and steady for this knowledge. Therefore, may this upasana which I am practicing bless me with mental purity, mental steadiness and mental expansion. With this prayer, if a person practices this upasanam, that upasanam becomes nishkama upasanam. What is, okay? And nishkama, as a result of that upasanam, this person may go to Swarga Loka and come back, or he will be blessed with, or definitely he will be blessed with what? Antakarna Shuddhi and Naishchalyam. One who is mentally prepared for jnanam, he can attain jnanam here itself, and why should he go to America to make money when he is able to earn a lot of money in India itself? Ask all Sri Lankan daughters, they'll tell, if we can live in India, Sri Lanka, why should we come here? We would have better life in our own country. Everybody will say that. See, all that, similarly here, people, when you attend moksha here itself, then why do you need to go somewhere to enjoy less pleasure? Isn't it? Time-bound pleasure. Therefore, one can attain moksha. This is the nishkama upasana phalam. And if sakama upasana, no, I am practicing this meditation because Upanishad tells in Palashruti that the practitioner of this meditation will go to Brahma Loka in subtle form and enjoy the Hiranyagarbha status, padavi. The status of being the Hiranyagarbha, the overlordship one will enjoy. That means one will have very longest holiday in his life. Therefore, I want to see what this longest, how? It is like, I really want to see what is there in Paris. I want to go to Paris. Now, for a child from India, He may like to say, no, I want to go to France and see what this Paris is all about. Like that, if we have our interest in going to Swargaloka and then enjoying those pleasures, then one can practice his upasanam as Sakama Upasanam. One can get the phalam. Is it clear now? This is the Sakama Upasana phalam, Anishkama Upasana phalam. The upasanam is the same. The attitude and your purpose and your clarity of, no, your commitment to your end, the definiteness of a purushartha nischaya, everything makes this upasanam what? Sakama upasanam or nishkama upasanam. Is it clear? So we have seen this Hiranyagarbha upasanam also last class. And I'm sure you all remember very well, Hiranyagarbha means what? Ishwaraha, the Lord. Which Lord? For us, whether the gross manifestation also is the Lord, subtle manifestation also is the Lord. If then unmanifest universe also is what? The Lord. Unmanifest universe is Ishwaraha, subtle manifestation is Hiranyagarbha or Brahma, and the total gross manifestation is what? Virat or Vishnu. So all the three are one and the same Ishwara only. And here Hiranyagarbha status one attains means, you have to remember, attainment of Hiranyagarbha status, or we say going to Swargalokaha or this Brahmalokaha etc., it is a non-verifiable belief. Okay? We can't say, nobody, oh, all Upanishad bluffs, okay? I don't believe it. Because you cannot disprove what Upanishad says. So you cannot say it is a bluff. But nor can you prove, no, my grandfather went to Brahmaloka and came back and told me, I know, I got pictures. It is like, you can't say that. That means what? Neither it is provable nor it is unprovable. Therefore, what now? It's a matter for belief. But because Veda says, people who believe, who respect Veda, they take it as a fact. Okay, fact. Why we take it as a fact? The same Veda talks about, but what does the Veda says when he talks about the travel on the part of the Sukshma Shariram? Shastram does not talk, say, consciousness travels. Who is the one who travels? Self does not travel. It is the subtle form which travels. And that travel is imperceptible. Because travelling sukshma is imperceptible. Therefore, travel of the sukshma also is imperceptible. Is it clear now? And we understand the sukshma being there only when it is associated with the sthulam. You should remember very well, sthulam cannot be active independently without the sukshma. Sukshma cannot be understood or transacted with if it is not associated with the sthula. And then the sukshma travels, and then for the sukshma traveling or how it travels, it is not understandable, comprehensible. And it talks about the solar path, Surya Gatihi, which also very subtle, and talks about lots of nadis in the heart, especially Sushumna Nadi, through which the mind alone withdraws. I talked to you last class about what now? Golakam, Hridaya Golakam, isn't it? That is why always heart we say. People talk about heart, but now you can say very well, Ishwara, heart is the place where Bhagavan dwells, means what? If Bhagavan dwells everything, the whole Jagat dwells in Bhagavan, really speaking. The whole Jagat is Bhagavan only. But for us, that the reality, Bhagavan, who is there as everything, is available for recognition only as the self in one's own mind, and which is an indriyam, which is available. Where is it now? What is the golakam or the indriyam? Hridaya golakam. That's why every day in deep sleep state, what happens to the mind? The whole mind is withdrawn from all over the body and it resolves in Hridaya Guha only. But you cannot understand that. Because you cannot even see your own sense power in your eyes. You only understand the sense power being present. Isn't it? When it is in deep sleep state, you do not know even sense power is there. That is why the mind withdraws and again it spreads all over. Withdraws and spreads all over. And this mind at the time of the death of the Upasaka, and you have to note one more thing, the Hiranyagarbha Upasana Palam does not take place when the person is alive. The only after the death of the person. Death of the person means what? The time of the death alone, the mind is withdrawn from the whole body and it resolves in the Hridaya Guha. Then when the mind, what now? The Upasaka's mind, Upasanam blesses him with a tremendous amount of punyam. That mind leaves through the Sushumna Nadi, and which from where the Suklagati he begins, it goes in the middle of the body, goes in the middle of the throat, jaws, etc. It goes to what now? Through the Brahma Randram is here. We have Brahma Randra here. All of us have that. And through which opening the skull means what now? It, not physical opening. And through that it goes to the Brahmaloka. And what does Upanishad say? Even if you go, even if the Jiva goes there, what happens? The Jiva does not, it is not a mokshaha. It is only temporary, long holiday. And it goes there, it is there as long as the punyam is there, one can remain. And once the punyam gets exhausted, one has to be born again. This Upanishad says. But the same Upanishad, what does it say? It does not say it's permanent. Going to heaven or enjoyment of heavenly sukham is not permanent. It is time bound. Still one is ajnani. Still one is not wise. Understand, one can be very rich in this country, in this world, because of his punyam. That doesn't mean the rich, all richest people are very wise also. Understand? Similarly, one who goes to Swarga Punya Loka, lots of punyam he has. Enjoys the best of comforts, the best of pleasures, but doesn't mean he is wise. He is still ajnani, he still has to be born once the punyam gets exhausted. This is what Upanishad says. But the same Upanishad says, come on, the Upanishad reveals a verifiable fact also. What is the verifiable fact? All that is here is only reality. There is something called matter which we do not count it. It does not have, it's not a parallel reality. It does not enjoy, it enjoy its own existence. Therefore, what do we say? There is a matter which can be looked upon as the power, subtlest power of this reality, and which is completely dependent on this reality for its existence. That is why that matter, which otherwise called the very name Maya, is why it is called matter is called Maya, that which is not by itself. It's called Maya. Ya ma sa maya. That which is not by itself is maya. That's why this matter itself is what now? It has existence because of this reality only. Otherwise it is as good as non-existent. That is why we do not count it a second reality. We say it is a power which exists inseparably with the reality. That's why we call it a mithya. Okay, reality is one only, and that reality is available for recognition, for the inquiring mind, the mind which inquires into the nature of that reality, and for which you need a means of knowledge from outside source. All that means or not you are blessed with naturally are inadequate, in exploring and discovering that reality. That is why we have Upanishads. They help you with the help of the Upanishadic Pramanam. And when you inquire into the nature of the reality, with the help, as aided by the Upanishads, not by your own intellect, okay, then definitely you arrive at the reality as what? As the self. Self of the individual. Self of the individual, for every individual, one's own self becomes what? the reality. That is how you understand, oh, the self of the individual, that my, okay, this individual, it is self of all the beings here. That is how you arrive at the truth being everything. It's the only way, there's no other way. Is it? And that is a verifiable fact. Because Upanishad states a verifiable fact, Upanishad also talks about the swarga, the lokas. Upanishad also talks about the limitations of the heavenly pleasures. The people who have Shraddha in the Veda Shastram, they can take it as what? A fact. But we don't overvalue anything. We give due value to everything here. Is it clear? So here, we say, that's why this Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, and the one who practices Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, and plus this Vyakruti Upasanam, as a result of which, he goes to this Swargaloka, and what happens, because he also practices this Vyakruti Upasanam, and he, every corresponding individual power remains one with total power. The current India, this mind, individual mind, become of the Upasaka, remains resolved one with total minds. The individual prana remains resolved one with total prana. Well, what now? Where is the individual now? He only if assume sthula, and you become what? An individual. When you don't assume sthula, you remain one with means. Then this individual, all these powers, being one with the total minds and total pranas, what now? Revels in all the pranas and revels in what? All the minds. You should understand, individual mind, every mind has what now? The manifest knowledge, isn't it? Little knowledge of something. Imagine the total minds. Total minds stand for total knowledge. That is why we say what? Omniscient. When you say Lord is omniscient, the English word omniscient you never understand. Only here you have to understand. What does it mean? All knowledge. Omniscient. Hiranyagarbha is what now? Omniscient. Why? It represents total minds. Therefore, total knowledge. Hiranyagarbha is omniscient. Sarvajnana Shaktiman. And Hiranyagarbha represents total pranas also. One prana, one individual prana, and you heard it in Tattvabodha class also, individual prana and organs of actions tend together become what? Kriya Shakti. What about the total pranas? Sarva Kriya Shaktiman. That is how Lord is omnipotent. Understand now, we talk about almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent. We talk about it. Really, have you ever understood the meaning? Understand now how Lord is omniscient, how Lord is omnipotent. Now you know. Okay, this is the Hiranyagarbha Upasana Palam. So one becomes what now? This remains resolved in total subtle manifestation. Thereby he enjoys the Brahmaloka status, Padavi, Brahma Padavi of Hiranyagarbha. And this is a time bound. So after that, finished. This is the last class lesson. And he, as a Hiranyagarbha, if a person remains one with the Hiranyagarbha, what happens? He attains sovereignty and he becomes the lord of all the minds. He becomes the lord of all the speech. He means what now? Not the individual, okay, as the resolved Satsukshma. He becomes the lord of all the sense powers, and he becomes the straw lord of Shrotrapatihi, Vijnanapatihi, and the whole space becomes his body. And all the gross, all the objects with the forms and without forms become his what? Become his body, physical body, become his forms. That's why the whole universe becomes, isn't it, his form. The whole universe, the space becomes his physical body. No, physical body, he's the body, form. Again, therefore, and such a person, and he enjoys the pleasures of all the minds. The total minds means what now? The total pleasure also he enjoys. he enjoys means all the pleasures become his mind, this, the being part of the total mind. He also has what? No, all the pleasures. Source of only pleasure, there is no pain. That is why the person who remains in Sukshma does not have any dukkham at all. And what example I gave you, Apuja Swamiji made very clear, told you last class also, I think, in deep sleep state, you don't have any dukkham. Do you have any sukkham? Not having dukkham is sukkham. Okay, even for few hours, if you don't have identity with the sthula shariram, you are, ignorance is there. But still there is no dukkham, there is bliss. Okay, time-bound bliss you have, temporary bliss you have in deep sleep state, and you have little longer bliss in death, you have longest bliss in pralaya also. So you have quite relatively longer period of bliss you have in Hiranyagarbha status. When enjoying Hiranyagarbha status. Okay. We'll do it. That's why Shanti, Samruddham, that is, he's become wealth, peace is his wealth, and he remains relatively immortal. And he calls his student, Hey Prachina Yogya. Prachina Yogya. Have we done that also? Prachina Yogya? Okay. Bhurityagno Pratitishthati.
Bhurityagno Pratitishthati.
Bhuva iti vayo.
Bhuva iti vayo.
So, from there, it talks about the phalam. Upanishad talks about the phalam of Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. Really, we have to supply a lot of things. It doesn't tell everything in detail. Just mentions, you know, what happens to, who is, and then I told you, the Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is what? Ahangraha Upasanam. Why it is called Ahangraha Upasanam? Because the total prana, the total Hiranyagarbha, which is total subtle manifestation, is invoked upon one's own mind. Isn't it? The total mind is invoked upon one's own mind. What is visualized here? Hiranyagarbha. Who is visualized? Hiranyagarbha. And what is the alambanam here? Your own mind. You invoke Bhagavan where? Not an an external object, but in your own mind. If the object of the symbol of meditation, object of meditation is always Ishvara, the whole, Bhagavan, isn't it? But object, the symbol of meditation is when you invoke in yourself, it's also object only, but still when your own self, it's called Ahangraha Upasanam. Why does Upanishad present this Ahangraha Upasanam? It slowly prepares you to understand later on the subtlest fact, Aham Brahma Asmi. Now it is a visualization, imagination, but when it's understood, it becomes what? Fact. Okay, over here, this is the mind, and in the mind you invoke the Hiranyagarbha. And then Hiranyagarbha is, a total mind is visualized upon this Hiranyagarbha, this your own individual mind. How you meditate upon, Upanishad doesn't talk about it. You visualize the total mind Hiranyagarbha upon your own mind. That's what Upanishad says. Then doesn't talk about the details. If a person practices this meditation, Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, if he visualizes the total subtle manifestation, Hiranyagarbha, the total minds upon one's own mind, then as a result of which, the meditator at the death, after he dies, his sukshma is drawn from everywhere, the mind especially, and the mind goes through the, what now, travels through Shuklagati, he reaches Brahmalokaha. That is what Upanishad says, doesn't say much. And when the mind goes, what happens to other sense powers? Other powers of organs of actions, other pranas. You have to understand, the whole sukshma goes along with the mind. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says beautifully how, just as the wind when it blows, it takes away the fragrance alone, not the flowers. Similarly, When the mind takes only all the subtle aspects and leaves the sthula here. Imagine the mind. Mind has to drag this sthula also. Okay? Then people, oh my God, he's going. And you have nothing to cry also, to cold and cry. You can't even cry, isn't it? Anyway. So sukshma alone travels, that you know that. Now what he says, this person who goes, where all he stops, no? Bhuri tyagnau pratitishthati. See, Agni Devata, this meditator's sukshma, when he travels, because he meditated upon Bhuhu Vyahriti, meditated upon Agni on Vyahriti, Bhu Vyahriti, he also remains one with Agni Devata. Bhuva iti vayau. He meditated upon Vayu on Bhuvo Vyahriti. Therefore, he remains one with Vayu Devata. Also, he remains one with many Devatas. Remaining one with many Devatas means what? All his respective individual powers remain resolved one with total powers. That is little incomprehensible, but still you can understand what it means. Suvaritya Aditya. And he also meditated upon this Aditya Devata, upon Suvo Vyahriti. He becomes one with Aditya also. When he said this individual meditator, who is the meditator here? The Sukshma of the meditator, you know, when he travels, he becomes one with Vayu, one with Agni, one with Aditya means what? Pratitishtati means he remains one with. Means, you have to understand, generally, all his given individual powers remain resolved, remains one with total powers. Maha iti brahmani. Then he meditated upon Brahman, Hiranyagarbha, and Maha Vyahriti. Thereby what happened? His mind becomes one with total minds. It means this individual, Sukshma, remains resolved, becomes one with total Sukshma. In Vyakti Sukshma becomes one with total Sukshma. You cannot separate it. But still Sukshma is still there. It is not resolved for good. Why? Still Ajnanam is there. What does it mean by saying Sukshma remaining, individual subtle remaining one with total Sukshma? As long as individual Sukshma does not assume another sthulam and is born, Sukshma remains one with total Sukshma. And it is not possible for us to remain one with total Sukshma for a long time. We have no say. Immediately or after some time, we'll take another sthulam and we'll be born here. And to remain without assuming another body for a long time like that, you should have punyam also. Because Prarabdha Karma Palam is so strong, you had to come back, be born soon, and for these parents, and in this country, in this land, in this place, and this is the situation, and you had to go through whatever you had to go through, you had to meet people that are readily waiting. Where all we had to go and meet and eat and see, and then there's some frictions and rubs and happiness, joy, pleasures, my God, I tell you, whole situation. It's all Prarabdha, well planned, well, this is Chitra Gupta, you know, all calculations are very well made, which date, where we should go, whom you should meet and what you have to enjoy, paid, but everything. I tell you, things happen as they are ordained. So Prarabdha Karma will immediately bring us, bless us with another sthula shairam. But here Prarabdha is what now? Is there, but the great amount of punyam is there that you are not, don't need to immediately come back and struggle. That means you remain one with the sukshma for a long time without assuming a sthula. Understand what I'm saying? That's the punyam. People talk about swarga, so our Shastra make it very, very clear. So what happens here? Apnot Iswara Ajam. Apnot Iswara Ajam. He attains sovereignty. He attains overlordship. If you have a sthulam, you are individual. If you don't not have sthulam, you are one with sukshma, means what now? You attain overlordship. Apnoti manasaspatim. Apnoti manasaspatim. He attains the status of being the lord of all the minds. The problem is, we think, if you attain overlordship, but you cannot talk, you know, I am now I become a lord, you cannot talk. When you enjoy the lordship, you cannot talk about your being the lord. That's the problem. But that is what we want to do. When you enjoy something, we want to say, no, I have become now this. That you cannot talk. It's like what? In sleep, when you are dreaming, you cannot say, oh, now I'm watching nice dream, you know. When you're watching television, you can call immediately somebody and tell, I'm not watching very good program on television. Please, we also watch. But you cannot talk about, I'm watching nice program and my dream, you know. You also watch. You cannot say that. Similarly, when you're sleeping, you have, my God, in Sukhadi, there's no universe, there's no nobody here. And then I'm here, I'm enjoying everything, I'm enjoying going through Sukham here. That all, you do not know you were there in deep sleep state. But still there is sukham. But are you able to talk about your deep sleep state sukham to other people? You yourself do not know that you are having sukham. You had to wake up to know that you had sukham. Similarly, when you enjoy the overlordship also, you are enjoying the overlordship, but you cannot talk about your overlordship to anybody else. And you do not even know you are enjoying the overlordship. At least in sleep, when you after waking up, you can say, I had very good sleep. But when you are born again, you cannot say, I enjoyed, you know, I was Lord all these days. I enjoyed overlordship before for many years. That's what you cannot talk about. Is it clear now? This is how one enjoys lordship. Then once you understand, oh, then you won't be interested in lordship also. Anyway. Apnoti manasaspatim. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Apnoti manasaspatim. Vakpatis chakshushpatihi. Vakpatis chakshushpatihi. One becomes the lord of one's speech. Lord of speech. One becomes lord of total speech. Lord of all sense powers. Chakshushpatihi means what now? One becomes the lord of, it means all the sense powers. Shrotrapatir vijnanapatihi. Shrotrapatir vijnanapatihi. Shrotrapatir vijnanapatihi becomes lord of all total knowledge. Vijnanapatihi becomes the lord of total knowledge. He becomes the lord of all sense powers. Then, yetatta shrotrapatihi, vijnanapatihi, vakpatihi, chakshushpatihi, manasaspatihi. That means what? Patihi means the Lord. He becomes the Lord of all the minds, all the intellects, all knowledge, all speech, all sense powers. That's the meaning. Etattato bhavati. Etattato bhavati. Tataha etat bhavati. Thereafter, what happens, he says, Akasha shariram brahma. Akasha shariram brahma. Then he said, Akashaha shariram. The whole space becomes what now? His form. His body. All space, where is Hiranyagarbha now? Hiranyagarbha is all over. Then space. Satyatma. Satyatma. See, Satyatma means, Sat means all the objects with forms. And Ya means, Ya stands for all the formless objects. Objects with forms, objects without forms are implied by the term Sat and Ya. He not Satyam, okay? Sat and Ya. And Atma means what now? The form, the body. Form here. So, Satyatma means what now? All the form, the entire space becomes his form. All the objects with form and without forms which exist within the realm of this time and space all become his what? His forms. Pranaramam mana anandam. Pranaramam mana anandam. Prana aramaha means what now? Because now he is no more individual prana. Being part of the total prana, he revels in total prana. Revels in total prana. So pranara means one who revels in total prana. He becomes the one who revels in all the pranas. Mana anandam. Now this meditator is no more an individual because his individual mind is resolved in total minds. Having resolved in total minds, as Hiranyagarbha, he has what now? Total minds. He represents total minds. So pleasure of every mind becomes what now? His pleasure. Therefore, this meditator's mind, being part of the total mind, revels in total mind pleasures. Also, that's why his mind becomes a source of only pleasures. All the pleasures. Mana anandam. Here you can say bliss. Not happiness, but bliss. He enjoys the total bliss. Mind becomes what now? This meditator's mind enjoys total bliss. What is the difference between bliss and happiness? Hope you remember. Every day in sleep, what you have is time-bound bliss. And in death also you have time-bound bliss. And in pralaya also you have bliss. And in swarga, in higher lokas also, higher status also, you have bliss. Because there's total ignorance. That means what now? You do not know you are. Therefore, you do not know anything else is. You having resolved your individual mind in total minds, what you have is what now? Bliss. Is it clear now? The mind becomes a source of, because you represent total minds, you have total happiness, total pleasure. Here the doubt might come. Okay, the individual minds resolved in total minds. Therefore, total minds enjoys a total pleasure. The mind also has dukkham. What about the dukkham? No dukkham. For the dukkham to be there, you must have identity. Only when you have identity, you can have dukkham. When you do not have identity at all, you do not have dukkham. In jnanam also, you have right identity. In ignorance, you can have wrong identity or non-identity. Do you have this difference? In knowledge, you can have right identity. Then you have happiness. In ignorance, you can have wrong identity. In half ignorance, you have wrong identity. In total ignorance, you have non-identity. In half ignorance, you have wrong identity. In total knowledge, you have right identity. In total ignorance, you have non-identity. Do you see the difference? Wrong identity, right identity, non-identity. In right identity is possible only in total knowledge, then you have only happiness. When you have wrong identity, in half ignorance, in half knowledge, you have wrong identity, then you have dukkham. In non-identity, also in total ignorance, you have non-identity, then you have bliss. I got the difference? If you have been listening to me for a long time, it may be very clear. So you want to be a non-entity, non-identity, want to have non-identity or total identity, right identity or wrong identity. Without our asking for wrong identity, we have wrong identity now. Because of our half knowledge, half ignorance. In total ignorance, non-identity, no dukkham. In total knowledge, right identity, also no dukkham, which is happiness. This only Vedanta Shastram differentiates the devotion of bliss and happiness. Is it clear? Because every book translates happiness as bliss, bliss, bliss. An amazing difference. Do you see the difference? English books put all the words in thesaurus are synonyms. Because why I am talking here? Mana anandam, mana anandam, shanti samruddham amrutam, shanti samruddham amrutam. So shanti samruddham. No. This person has what now? Abundance of peace. There's only peace. In sleep, what restless agitation you have in sleep? There's only peace. Relative peace. See, in sleep, you have relative peace. In death, you have relative peace. In Mahapralaya, you have relative peace. Okay? In total non-identity, you have relative peace. Total peace, it is what now? Bliss. Okay? But in total knowledge, you have absolute peace. For which you should have a human shariram and you should be alive, should have half knowledge, then you can have what? No. You can have your total knowledge. That is why aridaridu maadarai pirattal aridu. That is why human birth is always, you know, narajanma durlabham. Human birth is so precious. The only janma you can accomplish this. Human life, its span of life itself is very precious. Every fraction of time is, second is so precious. Okay. Shanti samruddham amrutam. Shanti samruddham amrutam. So amrutam is what now? Relatively eternal. This Hiranyagarbha utter what now? Relative eternity. Not absolute eternity. Absolute eternity is possible. What is absolutely eternal is Nirgunam Brahma. Consciousness is absolutely eternal reality. But everything, this the Hiranyagarbha status is what now? Relative reality. Because Hiranyagarbha has long life. Isn't it? That's why we say relative reality. It's relatively eternal. One enjoys relative eternity also being part of Hiranyagarbha. Iti prachina yogyopa asva. Iti prachina yogyopa asva. He prachina yogya upasva. O student, the teacher is addressing the student as prachina yogya. Prachina yogya, prachina means ancient, timeless. Prachina literally means old, ancient. And prachina vidya, prachina jnanam, the ancient wisdom, ancient knowledge is called what now? Prachina jnanam, prachina vidya. And yogya hami what now? One who deserves this ancient wisdom. Who is the one who deserves his wisdom? One who believes this, one who trusts this, one who has shraddha in the Veda. It is all cock and bull story. I don't want to listen to this if Veda is possible, isn't it? Somebody can say that. If he doesn't believe it, and you cannot talk to him about it. So the Upanishad can address the person who has Shraddha in Upanishad, what it Upanishad says. The person, the non-believer, cannot be addressed. But he says what? Hey, Prachina Yogya, one who deserves this Vedic wisdom, because one who has Shraddha in this Vedic teaching, O student, may you meditate upon Hiranyagarbha, upon your own mind. The total mind represents, who represents total mind? Upon your own mind, visualize this totality upon your individual mind. No, thereby, you can attain Hiranyagarbha Padavi as a result of, as a meditation. And as a Nishkama Upasana, if you practice also, you will have Chitta Vaishalyam, Chitta Shuddhihi, Chitta Ekagrata. Thereby, you can, we will be ready for Jnanam. You will be ready for Jnanam in what? You will be ready for understanding Nirgunam Brahma. Okay, so with this, three Upasanams and Upasana Palams are also over. We have to go to the next thing, which is called Pangta Upasanam, Pangta Brahma Upasanam or Pancha Brahma Upasanam. This is the fourth meditation. This Taittiriya Upanishad Sikshavalli presents five meditations, I told you. Till now we have seen three Upasanams and it is the fourth Upasanam. Okay, this is the Pangta Brahma Upasanam is the fourth Upasanam and Omkara Upasanam or Pranava Upasanam is the fifth Upasanam. So we are going to see now the fourth Upasanam called Pangta Brahma Upasanam or Pancha Brahma Upasanam. So Pancha Brahma Upasanam also is Ahangraha Upasanam. Now you know when I say Pancha Brahma Upasanam, Ahangraha Upasanam, what does it mean? You are visualizing the totality upon Brahma, Saguna Ishvara upon yourself. You are the symbol, you become the symbol and what is meditated upon becomes the total Hiranyagarbha Ishvara. Ishvara, not Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara the whole. Here I want you to understand Nirgunam Brahma and Sagunam Brahma. Nirgunam Brahma means what now? Guna Rahitam Brahma is Nirgunam Brahma. The reality devoid of any gunas is what now? Pure consciousness when you say Nirgunam Brahma. You can never meditate upon Nirgunam Brahma. Why? Because Nirgunam Brahma is not an object of meditation. Is it clear now? An object of meditation. Any object of meditation is what? Sagunam Brahma only. When it is Sagunam, when you say consciousness with Shakti alone becomes Saguna. Consciousness with matter, pure matter, maya, it becomes what now? Because matter becomes what now? Matter is the material cause. It becomes the karana gunaha. Karanam, you know, consciousness with matter becomes what? The cause of the universe. Therefore, becomes what now? Cause becomes the, karanam becomes the guna attributed to what now? Consciousness. Therefore, karanam becomes the gunaha. Therefore, consciousness plus maya is equal to Ishvaraha when you say karana gunavan Ishvaraha. Therefore, sagunam brahma. In sukshma prapancha, when you say consciousness with subtle manifestation, but now, sukshma is the gunaha attributed to brahma, but now, sukshma becomes the gunaha added. Therefore, as Hiranyagarbha, Sukshma Gunaha, Saguna Ishvara. Ishvara, when you say the Lord, it becomes what now? Saguna Ishvara only, Sagunam Brahma. Nirgunam Brahma means pure consciousness. Without matter, Nirgunam Brahma. With Shakti, Sagunam Brahma. Unmarried, Nirgunam. Married, Sagunam. Okay, this is Samba. Married, Saguna. Unmarried, Nirguna. I'm not saying unmarried anything, just to make it clear, so you won't forget such words, that's what I'm saying. Pure consciousness is what? Nirgunam. And with Shakti, inseparable power is what? Saguna. So, what is the guna here? In unmanifest condition, karanam becomes the guna. Attributed to consciousness. Isn't it? Karanam. In subtle manifestation, sukshma guna. In gross manifestation, sthula guna. Sthula, sukshma, karana. Sthula, sukshma, karana, all the three are what? Different conditions of the matter. Matter unmanifest is what? Totally unmanifest is Karana. Matter subtly manifest is Sukshma. Matter grossly manifest is Sthula. So with this Sthula, Sukshma, Karana, consciousness becomes what now? Saguna. Without this so Sthula, Sukshma, Karana, consciousness is what? Nirguna. Is it clear? So when we meditate, whom do we meditate on? Meditate on Saguna Ishwaraha. Object of meditation is always Sagunam Brahma. Nirgunam Brahma never becomes the object of meditation. Subject, isn't it? Okay, that's a different thing. Nirgunam Brahma is never available for objectification. Therefore, we never say Saguna Ishwara, only we meditate upon. And here, what is Saguna Ishwara? The total, isn't it? Whole. Whether it is a Virat or Hiranyagarbha, or it is only total. Totality is Ishwara. Saguna Ishwara means totality, consciousness with matter alone. Either manifest or unmanifest, doesn't matter. Unmanifest matter or manifest matter. See, consciousness is never unmanifest nor manifest. Consciousness is always consciousness. Is it clear? Consciousness is ever consciousness. It is never unmanifest consciousness or manifest consciousness. What becomes manifest and unmanifest is what? Is matter alone. When the matter is manifest, you say what now? Consciousness also is as though manifest. When the matter is unmanifest, as though consciousness is unmanifest. Really speaking, consciousness is never manifest, never unmanifest. It's like what? Now there's a pure light. What is pure light and manifest light? In the presence of light, when you see many opaque objects, and when you understand, oh, this is the light because of which alone I understand the presence of all the opaque objects, that light with reference to the opaque objects which shine in the presence of light, that light becomes what? Manifest light. The light, if there is no opaque object at all in the presence of light, what is that light? Pure light. You know, it is called pure light and manifest light. Light is just the light. Light gets the name pure light in the absence of opaque objects. In the presence of opaque objects, light gets the name manifest light. Is there no, can you differentiate? Is there a pure light and manifest light? Tell me. Light is just the light. Similarly, there is no such thing called unmanifest consciousness and pure consciousness. There is consciousness, it is ever pure only. But when do we say that now? If the matter is unmanifest, isn't it? The consciousness is as though unmanifest. When the matter is manifest, becomes manifest as through sukshma, then because of the presence of which consciousness alone, this matter being manifest as sukshma is clear, shines. We call what? Manifest consciousness. A refitted consciousness. And this tholam, we say again what now? Consciousness is different levels of manifestation, we say. Is it clear? Really speaking, consciousness is always just the consciousness alone. It will become very clear, don't worry, for which you have to go to the Brahmanandavalli, we will understand very well. I tell you, Brahmanandavalli, studying Brahmanandavalli in Taittiriya Upanishad itself is a great thing. So all of you really pray well and come to the class, you see the difference. If really I pray, because we don't have much time, our everyday, our days are counted, our span of life. We don't know whether we'll all be alive. I'm not pessimist, okay? I'm not negative. I'm a very practical person. That's what I'm saying. We do not know how long we'll be alive, how much we can be able to study. Whatever we study, we want clarity right now. Studying everything, our clarity should be enhancing. So Brahmananda should bless us all with real Brahmananda. That is my genuine prayer also. So what I'm saying, I'll give a small break for all of you. You can come back and we'll start the Pantha Brahma Upasanam. Okay, I'm not giving long time, just 10 minutes.